And welcome back, Nevada Shooters. You're on with Ben and Gary at Armed Nevada Radio. It is Saturday, November 14, 2015. We are a year away from
we are
fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
For better or for worse.
We'll have to see. 3:07 in the afternoon, in case I forgot to mention that. Ben, hello, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You know, I had a great experience this last week. I had the privilege of photographing the... Did we talk about this last week? I don't remember. I don't think we did.
Perhaps not.
I photographed the Spanish Springs High School JROTC battalion.
Okay.
And my faith in the future of this republic is restored. A little.
Those are tremendous young men and women. They really are.
There's a few where I kind of go, wow.
Yeah.
your advisor needs to kick you in the rear end. But you know what? The vast majority of those 280 people... They're great kids. Oh, man.
They are. My buddy Craig, his son, Willie, is a senior, I think at Hug. And he's in JROTC. And he has, like, risen through the ranks in 4 years.
Well, and Haley's in it, my daughter. Mm-hmm. And Haley probably does not have a future in the military. But you know what? This program, it's a tremendous development tool in terms of building leadership skills and self-confidence. And you know, a big shout out to the three advisors, or actually there's four out there. These sergeants and lieutenant colonel, they are amazing men.
They are. It's a real learning moment for these kids, these young men and women. It really is.
But yeah, my hat's off. I guess I'd never seen up close and personal the JROTC program, and I really think we're building tomorrow's leaders in that program.
And we are. You know, one young life at a time, and they are. They're a tremendous group of people. Craig's boy, Willie, he's like field marshal or something. I don't know how do they have that rank, but they should. And he actually leaves for the active duty Marine Corps, follows in his old man's footsteps, leaves this summer, and he will graduate on the next birthday of the United States Marine Corps. That's when he'll graduate boot camp.
Good for him.
He's in for such a shock.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're a little bit of a, looking for punishment if you join the Marine Corps?
Oh, yeah, glutton for punishment?
Yeah, glutton for punishment. Yeah,
if you're not, you will be. You will be for sure. Thank you for the calendar. I got Michelle Fiore's calendar here in my hot little hands.
Yeah. So those of you that haven't seen this, you know, navigate over to our Facebook page, and there's an article about it. So a little bit of backstory. So for the last 4 months, I've been working with Michelle Fiore, who is a very controversial individual, but also a very pro-gun legislator here in Nevada for us. And she had an idea for a calendar where we highlighted firearms and some of her pro-gun stances. And I jumped at the chance, and I thought it was a great opportunity both for her and I. And, you know, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive.
Well,
it has.
It has. Overwhelmingly, it has been for the most part. And we did have one detractor.
This calendar was featured on USA Today and The Blaze. And a couple of ABC and NBC and CBS affiliates. And so it got a lot of attention. And personally, I think it's a cool calendar. It's the first time I've done a calendar.
It is. I'm very impressed. Thank you for this. Absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk about some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. We had a rather colorful exchange on our Arm Nevada Radio Facebook page this week. We're going to delve into that in some great detail.
Yep.
So, Heather, if you're listening.
I don't think she is, personally.
Oh, no. Wait a second. She got in every last word. She couldn't let it go. She was still engaging at 10:30 p.m. that night.
I know. I lost interest after like the ninth or tenth reply.
I love to stir that pot like I'm burning poop.
I know you do.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that. It's actually makes for a pretty colorful story. We're going to talk about I've got a story about a 13-year-old whose mother had taken it upon herself, actually his parents had taken it upon themselves, to familiarize this young man with firearms. And he ends up grabbing the family's home defense weapon and guns down two home invaders defending his family.
I saw that one.
One of them's dead. One was arrested. Talk a little bit about Israeli carry. We're going to talk about that today.
We should talk about that.
Aren't familiar with what that is? We're going to talk about
because there is a instructor here in town that we have firsthand knowledge that is teaching that has taught it.
Well, and he is, to his credit, he's extremely proficient with Israeli carry. I've watched him demo it, but he comes from that world.
Right.
He used that in his everyday life while he was serving in Naval Special Forces, Special Warfare in with the Israeli military. So he's very good at it. But he and I disagree on this point, where I don't believe that Israeli carry is appropriate for soccer moms and everyday people wanting to carry a firearm for self-defense.
For concealed carry, I think.
It's just not appropriate. We're going to touch a little bit of a story on here about, again, on hollow points versus ball ammo or jacketed ammunition.
Oh, yeah. We posted that on the page, didn't we?
We got another one here. The you remember the ballistic fingerprinting in Maryland?
Yes. The foundation for California is brilliant.
Yes. In fact, isn't California using it now?
I believe so. Any gun that's submitted to their DOJ for approval on their roster of approved handguns has to have this.
We're going to talk about what a colossal failure that has been for the state of Maryland.
And not only failure, but waste of money.
Yeah, the taxpayers paid dearly through the nose for that one. Interesting story. This actually came out of Fox News. This was about a gentleman that was blowing the leaves in his yard, and apparently some leaves blew over into his neighbor's yard, and his drunken neighbor went absolutely sideways.
I heard about this.
And was beating this 61-year-old man to death. He would have killed this guy. As it is, as it stands, the victim sustained some fairly serious traumatic head trauma until his girlfriend, 61-year-old girlfriend, came out of the house with a handgun, drew down on the guy that was beating her boyfriend, and ended the fight without firing a shot.
Good for her.
But yet, you know, we want to take guns out of these people's hands.
Well, you know how many defensive situations like that where not a single shot is fired and life is saved that we never will ever hear about?
That's the ideal one. I tell you people all the time, the only guaranteed shooting you're going to come out of squeaky clean is one where you don't pull the trigger.
Yep.
Talk about Australian carry a little bit. Again, speaking of colossal failures, Australian carry has been proven to be a gigantic failure in Australia, where they're starting to realize that right now. And what have you got?
I got a couple of things. There's a video of a man in Pennsylvania that tried to take an officer's gun in a convenience store. Did you see that?
Let me guess how well that worked.
Well, it actually, the female officer was a lot smaller than the aggressor. She did it. Well, maybe we'll watch the video and kind of describe it for everybody. But I thought she did really well, and it's probably a lesson for those in our audience that are open carry proponents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as weapons retention. There was another one. I thought this was interesting. It's a video of a father who's a quote-unquote firearms instructor and his little boy, and they made this video of them drawing and reloading, like doing drills. So I want you to take a look at that.
Okay. Did it end badly?
No, it doesn't. Oh, okay. It's you know, it's a cute little video of a dad and a son. Some of their technique, I think, is questionable based on the way we train.
Right.
But I thought that was pretty cool. So
that's that's a good dad-son moment right there.
I think so.
You know, even if the technique is questionable.
Well, and here's one that isn't firearms related, except that it ended tragically for somebody. So this is a sad story out of, where is it? Is it in the Carolinas? I think it's in the Carolinas, South Carolina. Let's see. It happened in Indianapolis, but the wife of a former upstate South Carolina youth pastor died in a robbery, and police are searching for their killer. So what they think is there was a home invasion, and this pastor's wife gets killed in the home invasion, and he comes home to find her. And
I saw that, yes.
The reason why I want to talk about this is one of the hardest things I've had to encounter with people, especially like my friends in California where we start talking about firearms, is I think there's a general ignorance when it comes to the absolute depravity and evil that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody, you know, and I fell into this trap that if it doesn't happen to you, you don't think it exists.
Right.
And unfortunately for a lot of people, until it happens, they don't understand that there are people out there that will slit your throat, shoot your kids, and rape your wife without a second thought.
Well, and what's tragic about this story is her 3-year-old boy, I believe he was 3, was in the home when it happened, and she was 12 weeks pregnant with their second child.
Yep.
Yeah, very tragic. That's horrific. All right, we're going to take our first break. We'll be back to kick it off. All right, we're back with Ben and Gary, KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio. So Ben, give us a little backstory on this calendar that you did for Michelle Fiore, great Second Amendment proponent.
Well, yeah, so we wanted to, you know, make it a kind of a just a piece for promoting the Second Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something fun. It wasn't supposed to be too serious. It's supposed to raise a little bit of money for her impending campaign that she's getting ready to kick off. And yeah, so we she flew up here and spent a couple of days at my studio, and we shot various photos. And you know what? I personally think it's tasteful. I would have no problem showing my wife or my kids.
No, I wouldn't either.
She's fully clothed in all of the images.
I mean, she's a very attractive woman. She's very easy to look at. I mean, I'll give her that. but they are. She's fully clothed. There isn't even any clothing that is even hints at suggestiveness or objectification of women.
Well, and here's the aftermath of this, right? You know, so it hit all these major national news outlets, and it was big news last Friday and Saturday, right after we taped last week's show. And, you know, most everybody, very, very positive response mm-hmm. to it. The liberals, on the other hand, or those that were not in favor of guns, they think it was the most obscene thing they've ever seen. It's awful.
That's because they're all Little House from the Prairie, prudish, you know. I'll restrain myself.
Even News 4 runs a survey asking people, is it inappropriate for an elected official to be in a calendar like this? And it's like, give me a break.
How is it inappropriate?
It's not. She's not in, you know, she's not in lingerie. She's not in swimwear.
Look,
it's not, you know, it's not obscene.
Inappropriate would have been John Boehner posing in a Speedo with a musket. That would have been an inappropriate calendar. No, you cannot. So we had a little this turned into a lively discussion. So yes, you've got some tremendous supporters of this calendar.
Absolutely.
And at the end of this, I want you to tell everybody where we can get this calendar at.
Well, you can order it from Michelle Fiore, or I think we should give a couple away because I've got a few that I've been given.
We should. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So if you can make it down here, not to the studio because we're not going to be here in time. We'll figure out a way. We'll do this.
We'll post it on our Facebook page.
So. Let's talk all of the supporters aside. Let's talk about a detractor.
Before we get on the mm-hmm. one detractor, I just want to say, you know what? Michelle Fiore is a very controversial figure.
Right.
And, you know, somebody on our Facebook page pointed out something with one of her businesses and
yeah. So what?
Well, yeah, so what? Here's the other thing is, you know what? She's an elected representative. Mm-hmm. She was by far the most vocal proponent of campus carry and some other bills that were proposed. And you know what? No matter what is going on in other parts of her world, we have to, as advocates of the Second Amendment, I'm leveraging what is in front of us and what the reality is at the moment.
That individual made an accusation that she had had a business license revoked, and he provided the link. Well, he didn't read his own damn link.
No.
Did you read it?
I'm familiar with the situation,
right.
And it's not the way the liberal press is making it out.
What I gather from the link was, like I've done, she simply chose not to renew that particular business license, and so they sent her notification.
Yep.
She let it lapse.
Right.
I've done that. I did it with my Carson City business license. So what?
Right.
Oh my God. She checked, you know, like Ben Carson, she checked a library book once out and returned it 2 days late.
Right.
Really? It's the worst you can come up with?
Well, and there's some other stuff going on with the inspectors that were trying to come out. They kept scheduling it for times when she was out of town on legislative business. So there's always more to the story.
There is. So let's talk about this detractor.
Yeah.
I'll just call her Heather. Will you?
Shall I share my opinion as to whether she's really a listener or not?
Well, yeah, let's get into that. Let's talk real quick about what she said, because as of this morning's show, I pulled it up.
All her comments are gone.
She's deleted all of her comments.
Yep.
She knew this was coming because I told her this is going to make for some lively discussion. Oh, you're just going to make a joke out of it. No, I'm going to point out your absurd delusion, delusional-based opinion about this. And look, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing, though. As a photographer, I wasn't offended. You know, if she wants to give me feedback that she doesn't think it's appropriate, fine, whatever.
Right.
I'm all right with that. And that is not the worst thing that somebody
has... Well, she was highly offended.
Well, that's not the worst thing that somebody has said about my work.
Let's talk a little bit about what she said.
Okay.
So she blamed us she blamed you and I and this calendar for single-handedly destroying the campus carry movement
and hurting women in the process
women
students
that's one hell of a reach right there.
I think it is.
And I gave her the benefit of the doubt. And I asked her to clarify, and she went into this long, drawn-out manifesto on our page about – and she picked apart not just one or not in generalities. She went through, Ben, every single photo and picked apart every single pic. Her cowgirl outfit isn't a real cowgirl outfit. I mean, it was just – it was nitpicky. It wasn't even fact-based.
Well, and actually, if you look at that image that's on the cover that I'm assuming she picked apart as the cowgirl image, you know what? It's not...
She's not trying to be a cowgirl.
No, it's not meant to be... You know, the background is at Virginia City. It's meant to be fun.
It is. This prude clearly doesn't know how to have fun. But her comments have all been deleted, and I forget... I really wish they were still on there, because I was going to... address them
well
in detail.
And the other assertion she made was that this calendar makes every supporter of Campus Carry look like a crazed lunatic gun fanatic or nut.
Her opinion was that at her family Christmas party, everybody at that family Christmas party is armed, but nobody knows it. Okay, cool. I'm armed at my house. Nobody knows it except my kids and my wife. And our listeners now. Yeah. Well, yeah, now everybody knows. But, well, that's fine. Let them know.
I don't care.
So, she says she has this Christmas party. You know, none of us are waving our guns around in the air like lunatics. What? Wait a minute. What? Where the hell did that comparison come from?
None of those images are. Well, but the other thing is, if we had a calendar of concealed carry where you never saw any guns, how is it a Second Amendment calendar?
Exactly. If Michelle Fiore is concealing every single firearm in this calendar, how is that supporting gun rights? And look, she's got some great guns. I'm not talking about the ones on either end of her shoulders. I'm talking about the ones she's holding. I'm talking about the ones she's holding.
Right. Oh, we had firearms. We had some fantastic support when it comes to providing firearms for the calendar.
Oh, I bet. I'm jealous. She got a SCAR. I mean, I don't know. Well, she got a really nice M4 in here.
Yep.
Anyway, she's got some great pistols. I love it. I love the calendar. I love what she's doing with it. You know what? It is. It's fun. When did people quit having fun?
You know what? This is the gun equivalent to the stupid Starbucks cup.
It is. It is. That is ridiculous. You know what? If you don't like it,
don't buy it.
Here's a newsflash. Don't buy the damn thing.
Right.
All right? Look the other way. Well, you don't have to.
And you know what? How is this any more or less offensive than all of the Girls and Guns calendars that are out there right now where the girls have basically nothing on?
Yes.
This is tame and professional. I could show this to my daughters without fear of...
Right. You go to any of those other girls and gals or girls and gun sites, and it's basically a close-up of a couple of yabos.
Right.
And maybe there's a gun in there somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
So
I said yabos.
I don't see...
Sweater puppies.
I don't see... So, personally, I don't see what Heather was getting all upset about. And my theory is, I don't...
Tell us what your theory is, because this is important.
I don't think she's a listener, or if she is a listener, I think she's listening for the other side. I don't think she is a Campus Carry supporter, or, you know, the way she came and glued about this...
Yeah, because she went sideways.
I think she's got some liberal leanings if she isn't a full-on coalition to stop gun violence.
I live for conflict on social media.
I know you do.
I really do. And I don't back down, and I didn't back down from her. And I don't – look, personally, I think she hates men, but that's my opinion. Okay, but – because she blamed men. She said it's a typical male attitude. She made some really sexist comments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fired right back. I mean, I was professional about it, but I called her out. I'm like, come on. That's fine. You know what, Heather? Thank you for listening, dear. I know Ben and I really appreciate it. I
you
hope
just
you're one
her
of our...
dear.
I did.
I think you offended her even more.
I did. You know what, Heather? I'll hold the door open for you if you come down here. How's that? All right, moving along. We've got this 13-year-old boy.
Okay.
And you know what? God bless this kid. On one hand, listen, I'm glad for him. I'm sorry he had to go through this. I really am.
Well, that sucks at 13 to have to do that.
But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we are up against – oh, no, I got 2 minutes. Sean's passing me throwing me the peace sign. Why did you only have one finger up when you threw me that peace sign, though? Oh, there you go.
There's two of them.
So this young man, 13 years old, one criminal's dead and another in custody after the 13-year-old grabbed his mother's gun and opened fire on home invaders. Just before 1:30 p.m., Lamar Antoine Brown, 31, and Ira Bennett, 28, targeted the Charleston area residents where the boy became suspicious after seeing an unfamiliar gray vehicle pull up behind the house. The 13-year-old boy was home alone and became suspicious when he saw an unfamiliar gray car. Why do they have that paragraph in there twice? The boy saw a man try to break into the home, so he grabbed his mother's pistol, according to the police. He opened fire on the man, and the sheriff's office reported that the man returned fire at the boy.
Oh, dang.
Holy smokes. The suspects fled, one of them dropping a Colt 45 caliber handgun, and the boy continued firing as they drove off. Well, there you go. He's carrying a 1911. That's the criminal's problem right there. Brown was shot three times and was driven to the hospital by Bennett. The gray Chevy Sonic they were driving had numerous bullet holes as well, according to a police affidavit. This kid didn't quit.
No.
He took the fight to the bad guy, and he finished the fight. God bless this kid.
Yeah.
I'm speechless right now, said the boy's mother. Who knows how this would have turned out?
Clearly it would have turned out badly.
The boy's mother told reporters that she had the gun at the house for protection, but she never expected her son to use it. I tell my kids that if anything ever happens, to call 911, but I also tell them to protect themselves if they have to. I never would have dreamed that this would have been a part of our day today. You know what? This kid, 13 years old, this is the second story, two shows in a row, we've had a warrior spirit.
All right.
Good for this.
We need to talk a little bit more about, because there's a part of this story that I want to explore a little bit more for us and our audience.
All right. Take us to a break.
All right. Well, this is Armed Nevada Radio with Gary and Ben.
All right. And we're back. Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 173 with Gary and Ben. And we're touching a little bit on this young 13-year-old warrior here that grabbed mom's gun and defended himself during what would have been almost certainly a very deadly home invasion.
I think so. Absolutely.
Killed one, seriously wounded the other, shot their car full of holes. This kid didn't quit.
So, and this, I think, is every parent's worst nightmare, right? Because the kid was home alone.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He was home alone.
Yeah. So anytime, you know, I leave my older one at home alone, I mean, I worry about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so here's the instant question I have that makes for, I think, a good discussion is, so 13 years old.
Right.
Do you leave a firearm out and accessible for a 13-year-old when you're home alone?
Good question.
See?
That is a good question. However, you know, and that can, well, it depends. Let me preface this. Clearly, mom and dad have worked with this young man.
Right.
13-year-old just doesn't pick up a semi-automatic firearm
and be able to
get that thing running in the fight. And not only that, but finish the fight.
Right.
Without having some instruction, some familiarization by the parents. Had I been the parents of this child and I knew his skill level, then I would say, yes, I would be comfortable. You know, it's not my kids I'm worried about. It's the other kids.
Kids that come over to the house.
Right. Yeah. Now, when we had our Halloween party, right? There were a lot of kids in our house. Every one of my guns was locked up.
Of course.
I trust my kids without a doubt.
Right.
It's the other kids I don't trust. Their friends, you know, that they bring over. I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Well, so, to answer your question, yes. In this boy's situation or in my situation at home, I would be comfortable.
Here's the hard. So my kids are completely familiar with firearms, right?
Yes,
taking them out to the desert, taking them to the range. They've had instruction, and so I don't have any doubts that they could run just about any firearm that they picked up in our house.
Right.
12-year-old would have a hard time with the shotgun just because of the weight, but the 12-year-old, my 12-year-old Mackenzie, absolutely, I would trust her with a firearm accessible. My 15-year-old, not so much. She just doesn't have the decision-making skills that the 12-year-old does. So I would really have a hard time. My guns are locked up. And so here's the other part of this is, you know, if this was in California, that parent would be facing a criminal charge.
Oh, sure.
For not having the gun locked up.
Yeah. Well, you know, absolutely. I want a little disclaimer here. You know, Ben and I both recommend that if you have firearms in your house, and if you have any doubts at all, you've got little kids around, you know what? You lock them up, put them away, make sure that they're in, or at the very least, make sure that those firearms are, their location's known only to you and that they're inaccessible.
But see, you know, this is a parenting issue and not a gun issue.
It is.
Because, you know, you look at, you and I and our spouses are involved parents.
Mm-hmm.
We are there for our children. We advocate for them. We go to bat for them. You know, when my oldest daughter was being bullied a few years ago, you know, we were absolutely involved in that. Right. And I think that makes a huge difference. Then, you know, you compare that to some of these other parents that have, where their child has been involved in a school shooting because the parent's gun has been accessible.
There's a recent story out of California, too, where a gang member had a gun in a dresser drawer. The 9-year-old got a hold of the gang member's gun and shot and killed
that.
His younger brother.
Yep.
So.
But, you know, see, some of that, though, is unfamiliarity.
It goes right back to parenting, like you said before.
Right.
It's a parenting issue, not a gun issue.
So I think everybody needs to know their situation and make a decision based on that. I mean, for me and my family, because I don't necessarily trust my 15-year-old to make that rational decision, my guns are locked up.
Yep. Well, good for that kid. I'm sorry he had to go through that. I'm very proud of that young man. I'm very proud of his parents. I'm very sorry he had to go through what he did. I hope he's doing well. I hope he gets, you know, whatever support that he needs post-shooting.
Right. Absolutely.
Moving on, we're talking about a thing called Israeli carry. For those of you that aren't familiar with what Israeli carry is, it's a mode of carry on your sidearm where that sidearm is carried on your dominant side,
okay.
And there is no round in the chamber. So as the gun comes out of the holster...
So fully loaded magazine
fully
is
loaded
inserted.
Magazine, no round in the chamber.
Okay.
As you draw that gun and that gun comes out of the holster, as you go into the regular two-handed grip,
yeah.
Instead of going into a two-hand grip, the support hand grabs the slide, racks the slide, shoving around into the chamber.
With that overhand grip.
The overhand grip, and then you go either one hand... A dominant hand or two-hand dominant hand support. You got to understand, the Israelis train with this constantly.
Right.
All the time. I think some of the most proficient military shooters are the Israelis. They carry everywhere, every day, off-duty, on-duty, they carry. And that's just the horror of the world in which they live in, when the entire Middle East is trying to
kill you.
Destroy your nation. So for them, it works. However, there's a video recently out where four Israeli soldiers are confronting what appears to be three or four identified as Palestinians on a park bench, and they're Israeli carrying, and it's very clear that they're Israeli carrying
right.
because the one guy stands up, tries to knife the Israeli soldier in the head. He stumbles back trying to – with the overhand, you know, that startle flinch.
Yep.
He has to come up and protect the face,
right.
And his partner – you see him in slow motion, comes out of the holster. First thing he's got to do is rack that gun. Now, support hands all the way back here to the shoulder, guns fully extended, and he engages, kills the guy. But, of course, so do the other four or five Israeli soldiers standing next to him because they absolutely turn this guy into a wet sponge.
Well, here's a couple of realities, I think, for this. Is one, no, very, very few civilians are going to be willing to put the time and effort it takes to learn that.
Correct.
The other thing is I do think there is a difference between being on duty with a duty holster, a Safariland, a Blackhawk, whatever retention holster you use. And, you know, in this situation, I would assume their situational awareness is up because they're engaging
a
Palestinian. Right. You know, but for concealed carry, many times we're going about our daily life.
Yep.
We're, as much as you and I are vigilant and have situational awareness, we may not be paying attention. And, you know, it takes an extra split second to bring that shirt up or whatever cover garment you're wearing and to deploy that firearm. I just don't think that is a practical way of carrying if you're concealed carrying.
It's not. It's not practical. It's not efficient. You know, you're also just, you know, also talking about something that, you know, it's a combination of gross and fine motor skills to get that gun into battery.
Yep.
What works in Israel doesn't necessarily work here. What works here may not necessarily work in Israel. What works in Russia won't work here, et cetera. It's, you know, everybody has their own way of training it. But for everyday civilian carry, I agree with you. It's absolutely inappropriate. There's no place for it. You know what? Carry that gun chambered.
Well, how many cops do you know that carry that way?
None. No, none.
It's always conditional
that way. Maryland for several years now has had this ballistic fingerprinting. What that is, it's a micro stamp on the firing pin of these weapons that when it strikes the case, it imprints a coded stamp.
A number or a symbol or
right.
a combination.
And this was supposed to be done. What they do is the state of Maryland was every time a gun was sold, this gun was test fired and they retained the shell casing with the micro stamp on it instead of it going into a little manila envelope like you normally get when you buy a firearm. They were maintaining these in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of shell casings that were micro stamped.
Okay.
At a cost of over $5 million taxpayer dollars. You know what? Not a single crime was ever solved.
What a joke.
Yep. This well, is same thing's going on. They're doing this in California. They're micro-stamping.
Yep, they are. And actually, the negative part, well, so here Maryland wasted all this money and no mm-hmm. lives were saved and no crimes were prevented, no crimes yep. were solved.
Exactly.
But, you know, the flip side in California is that manufacturers are flat out refusing to do it. Glock won't do it. Smith & Wesson won't do it. Walther won't do it. Springfield has refused to do it. And so what has happened is no new guns are being submitted onto the roster. You know, that's part of the reason why Gen 4 Glocks, you're never going to see those in California.
Yeah.
And so now Californians effectively have a much smaller selection of handguns to choose from than the rest of us, which is unfortunate. And so this is, I feel like this is another way. It's backdoor gun control.
I was just going to ask you, is this not backdoor gun registration?
Well, registration, but also it's gun control.
Yes.
Because they know manufacturers aren't going to play the game. And so they're effectively reducing, you know, the gun, handgun selection.
You know, and if you've got big companies like you just mentioned, Glock and Walther and Springfield and whoever, if they're refusing to do it, what's the federal government going to do? I'm going to put them out of business?
Wow.
What, are you kidding me?
Right. Well, and right now...
it's unenforceable.
Right now, it's just California. But, you know, as is typical, it's the California, yeah. it's the residents of California yeah. that are paying the price.
Well, I know you've got some stuff to cover. Let me take a break. I'm going to kick it over to you. What do we? What do you have to talk about that I'm not familiar
with? Oh, what do I have? What have we talked about? You know, actually, there was an article. Where did I pick this up from? Active Self Protection, which is one of my favorite Facebook pages
yeah.
for what we do.
Yeah.
And it's another one of these stories where an anchor has an eye-opening experience at a local police department. Their Citizen Training Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that when we come back from the break.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, we're going to get out of here for a break real quick. KNews 107.3, Ben and Gary, Arm Nevada Radio. All right, we're back with Ben and Gary on KNews, Arm Nevada Radio, 107.3 FM. God, my mouth got ahead of me.
Holy cow.
I hardly ever know.
It happens to the best of us. So this article, and this has happened a couple of times, where they have invited reporters and community activists to go through and do, it's like a Citizens Academy where they do the shoot, no shoot training, and mm-hmm. it's either simmunitions or one of the other similar, you know, training tools. You know, this is something that I think every concealed carry permit holder should do. The shoot, no shoot training.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think it's really beneficial because, one, it allows people to see how quickly things go from being normal to mm-hmm. a deadly threat. And I think it also shows that stuff isn't always clear cut.
It never is. And, you know, to go through this law enforcement type of training, it just goes to prove, you know, when you're sitting behind the comfort of your keyboard telling the cops how they should have done it.
Right.
You know, come walk in their shoes just in a simulation. Just do the simulation. Then go take a ride-along.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll have a whole new perspective. You know, nothing is routine. There's a young lady that I'm friends with on Facebook, and she is just passionate about pursuing a career in law enforcement. And I posted something on her page yesterday, and I said, you know, let me give you a little bit of advice. And I told her what to expect. I said, you know, no day is ever routine. That's the beauty of that job.
Right.
Every single day is different. You're not walking into the office at 9 a.m., sitting down at your cubicle, powering up the Mac, and tapping away on the keyboard all day long, monotonous. That's the beauty of being a cop. You know,
right.
Every day is different.
Right. Every hour is different.
People don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, and they all think they know how to do it better. I do. I wish I could start providing this type of training. In fact, I've been looking into that. Just a matter of
I think the sizable investment. I think the shoot no shoot training would be awesome, and I don't know if Reno PD has something or the regional law enforcement training center has something, but I think that'd be really beneficial. And you know what? I would pay or donate to be able to go through something like that.
Well, in order to provide simmunition training, which is what I would like to do, because simmunitions are basically it uses real firearms. It's just you have a replacement barrel. And the same slide, and what the simulations is, it's a almost like a half brass case with a primer.
And then a paint type of...
Right, but it's in a hard plastic case.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get hit by these.
Right.
So it's very motivating to train realistically because, I mean, when you're doing simunitions, you're wearing, you know, a full face mask, you're wearing a helmet.
I'd sign a release for that.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a big release. You're wearing, you know, a Viking helmet and a Little League chest protector, whatever. Because
right.
I'll tell you what, these things hurt.
Yeah.
And you get stunned by one of these one time, it'll teach you to keep your friggin' head down.
I want to do
it.
It's
a very motivating way to train.
I want to do it. If anybody works with the regional law enforcement training center or has any contacts within the sheriff's office or Reno PD, well, Gary and I want to do it.
We do. We want to do that. Or if anybody listening wants to donate simunitions gear to my business, I'd be more than happy. That's on my Christmas bucket list.
So check out this video. There's no audio to it. So I think, you know, Gary, you and I are going to have to kind of like narrate this as it goes.
Yeah, this is in Butler, Pennsylvania. I don't think I've seen this one.
All right. So it's a convenience store. Guy walks in. There's a law enforcement officer standing at the counter. So it looks like he pushes her, right?
Yeah, he's trying to take her sidearm.
Yep. And so she drops her hand to her gun or her holster. She's radioing for help.
Okay, let me pause that real quick.
Okay.
All right, now her gun comes out.
Yeah.
He had already come up behind her, pinned her against the counter, tried to get her gun out of her holster. She's able to break free. She backs up towards the door, and instead of creating distance, even more distance.
Right.
And drawing down on this guy, she leaves her gun in her holster, reaches for her lapel mic while he advances on her.
Right.
At that point, he's already demonstrated that he's a deadly threat to this woman.
Well,
there clearly is a sizable size difference.
Well, so, right. And the scary thing about this is, he's within what, an arm length, arm and a half length?
He's well within her bubble. She should have, listen, if this was my trainee, I'd have dinged her big time. She is absolutely justified when he advances on her a second time.
Well,
up, draw, and put three to five to his
She advances
chest.
Towards him, and then they come together. She is fortunately putting, you know, she tries to maintain distance between the suspect, and I think that might
what
be
the
her
hell is that grip? Look
think,
at that.
I think that might be her taser that she's drawn.
Oh, that is a taser.
Yeah.
But still.
Well,
look at that grip, thumb behind the hand.
Well, so check it out, though.
She's holding him at taser point right now. She ought to have him at gunpoint.
Well, but you know what? In that enclosed space where maybe you have 4 or 5 feet to maneuver, wasn't the taser the smarter draw?
Not in this case, because if you look, he's wearing a very thick jacket.
You're going to have trouble getting through it.
It won't get through it.
Yeah.
That taser is not going to work on this guy.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like he's wearing a jacket and a sweatshirt.
Yep. So he's got like a jacket with a hoodie underneath it, and that taser is not going to do anything. She is clearly unprepared for this encounter. And I don't necessarily blame her. I blame her agency. That is some piss poor training right there.
Well, but okay. So this highlights a couple of things. So one, poor training. It looks like she managed to survive the incident, which, you know, thank goodness,
it's a miracle.
But the other thing is, what is the most common argument we hear from open carriers? Nobody ever grabs guns.
That it deters attackers, that when they see me open carrying, they'll go for greener pastures.
So right here, you have a uniformed cop with a radio on her shoulder, right? And this guy, that does not deter him at all.
And he doesn't know her level of training.
No.
Or in this case, lack thereof.
He walks in, and he is stupid enough to try and remove a firearm from, I'm assuming she's probably using some sort of a retention holster because most departments require that.
Yes.
And, okay, she's not like a simple target, not an easy, easy target, right?
No.
Well, so if you're standing there at the counter, you're an open carrier, you're carrying your favorite Kydex holster with no retention level other than just the snap in and snap out. I mean, this guy would have pulled your gun away from you.
Did you notice this too? When he first walks in, she never turns around when she hears the door open.
To check it out.
Zero situational awareness.
Right.
You know, look, I'm not saying that she should be terminated because clearly this is a training issue. She definitely needs retrained.
Yep.
And if she still can't pick up on it, then she's a danger to herself and to the community. She needs to go find another job.
You know what the funny thing is?
Fortunately, the world needs plenty of bartenders.
So I watch this video, and there are things that I do where I start to feel like I'm being paranoid for it. And then I watch stuff like this and I go, well, not so paranoid.
Well, I'm looking at it from a very critical eye because I look at it, you know, as a field training officer and I'm critiquing what she's doing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I don't see anything that she does in this video that's right.
Well, so when I'm standing in line or I'm at the counter of like a convenience store or a restaurant, mm-hmm. I try to blade off mm-hmm. to where I'm not standing with my
yes.
back to what's going on behind me. One, because then if I can kind of turn my strong side towards the counter, I've got that much more ability to retain that firearm. I mean, I can shove my hip into the counter. And
is your head on a swivel every time the door opens?
I try to be. I'm not perfect, but I try to be.
Well, no, none of us are. You know, I'm looking for avenues of escape. I'm my head is turning. Every time I hear that door open, I hear that bell go ding ding when somebody walks in. I'm also looking for somebody that I can throw in front of me.
Well,
no, not really. I'm not really doing
well,
that.
Well, but the funny thing is with you, there's been a few times where you and I have gone to lunch mm-hmm. or gone to dinner, and you know, we'll walk into some place and you'll recognize, or somebody will walk in and you recognize there's somebody that you've previously hooked and booked.
Yeah. Was that right next door here?
No, that was down in Carson City after we got done with a class. Remember we're sitting there having burritos?
Oh,
and
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You
scared the crap out of me with that.
Yeah, he's a one of our local gangbangers down there. He's a lot bigger and badder than he thinks he's much bigger and badder than he is.
Well, but so if you had your face buried in your burrito, not paying attention to the door, you wouldn't mm-hmm. have seen this guy walk in.
No, and he's an individual that I actually got in a foot pursuit with and had him at gunpoint inside an abandoned apartment. And I actually reached through the door he tried to slam on me, grabbed him by the lapel. I jerked him out from this abandoned apartment. He ended up impacting the wall. And then I threw him down on the floor because there was another buddy of his that was in there too.
Yeah.
So as soon as I threw him on the floor, I stood on his neck and said, "Don't move." And I drew down on his buddy. So yeah, he's never forgiven me for that.
Well, and
like I'm losing sleep.
Dude, when you read me the riot act in that restaurant, I seriously thought I was close to. We're gonna have to draw down on this guy. And you know, he was making evil eyeballs at you the whole time.
Yeah, I did. You know, I had the beard, though. I don't know if he thought he recognized me or didn't recognize me, but yeah, he was looking at me.
So I thought I was going to go down.
Yeah, he knows who I am. I knew who he was. But yeah, I mean, that can happen. I've been out numerous times where, you know, look, Reno's a small town. It's not that big.
No.
Even Reno sparks. And, you know, people forget. It's very, how many times you go out and you run into people you've just seen in passing?
All
like,
the time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that guy before.
All the time.
You know, would that happen in Phoenix or L.A. or Chicago?
Not as likely.
Hell no.
Right. Well, even Sacramento.
Sacramento, Los Angeles. No, you're not gonna see that. All right. Well, it's been a great show. Again, we didn't get to touch on everything, but some of the stories we mentioned, they are up on the Facebook page. Take a minute and peruse that.
Quickest hour all week.
All
every
week
time.
Long. I know it. So we're gonna get out of here, guys. Listen, have a great rest of the weekend. My new catchphrase: get it up, get it on, get over, finish the fight. I actually borrowed that. That's
stay armed and stay vigilant.
Stay armed and stay vigilant.
And stay out of California.
Stay out of California. Stay safe, y'all. Talk to you next weekend. Bye.